After wishing everyone a Chag Sameach, Moedim Simcha, Gut Moed. So we'll start Perikira, and that gives us one day ahead of the Daf Yomi, if I'm not mistaken. So that's good news, because tomorrow we won't be able to get together. And the Mishnah is going to discuss a Kira. We'll have a lot to discuss later on as we get to the next Mishnah about what a Kira looks like. But suffice it to say that a Kira has, on the one hand, it has a place where you put the fuel in that's on the bottom. There's like an opening, and it's kind of like a triangular shape. And you put the tavshil on top of the of this little sort of stove. And there's some air coming in, as opposed to the case of a tanur, an oven, a classic oven. You know, when you put the food in, it's almost in direct contact kemat with the coals, and therefore there's a lot of heat that's trapped in an oven. In a case of a kira, on the other hand, there's still some air that comes in because the tavshil, the pot, is placed on top of the kira, so you have some air coming in, so it's not trapped heat. And the Mishnah is going to discuss, first and foremost, two categories of fuel. The first one is kira shesikua bekash ubigvava. Now, what we have to know about kash, which is straw, and gvava is another type of straw, it's in English they call it stubble, is that this is the key of keys, it's very flammable. It very quickly goes up in smoke. You have to feed the fire with a lot of kash and gvava, as opposed to the next category, which is called gefes v'eitzim. Now, let's talk about eitzim, because that's a little bit simpler, although gefes is the same principle. Eitzim, which are logs, actually create coal. They don't go up in smoke, but the fire makes the wood into coals. And the Mishnah says that we can be more lenient with regard to kash ugvava. And what that means is, the Mishnah says, nosnin alea tavshil. You're allowed to place food on the kira and have it there on Shabbos, even though you might be afraid that he'll tamper and he'll play around with the flame if he sees it's not cooking properly. But there are two answers to that question. Answer number one is that the food has reached at least a basic level of cooking. That's called kemichel ben drosoy. So that there's less of a fear that he might tamper with the fire, because it's already not fully cooked, but at least partially cooked. And secondly, this fuel is so flammable, it just goes up in smoke, so to speak. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but the point is, it doesn't really have coals. As opposed to gefes uvi eitzim. Now again, exactly what gefes is, I can only read to you an English translation. It's the pulp that remains after fruits have been pressed. I think we discussed this once, way back when, that they used to take, for example, the olives to the press, and then there was the sort of like still parts of the olives that were left after they extracted the oil. Or, for example, you talk about dates, so the pits of the dates could be used as something flammable, it's a fuel. But the point is that these are very tough pulps, you know, very tough, hard, durable substances, and they end up with coals, which is called in the Lashon HaChazal, Gichalim, even in modern Hebrew. And the problem with Gichalim is that, although slowly but surely the Gichalim sort of calm down, right, if you've ever seen a campfire, but there's a lot of potential heat there. All you have to do is poke them, stir them a little bit, and the flame goes up. And if you do that on Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom, that is a violation of a Melacha D'Oraisa, which is called Havara. Therefore, when it comes to Gefes Uvi'etzim, and again, these are words you just simply have to memorize them, because they're going to come over, they're going to come up a million times in the course of this perek. And when you get to Gefes V'Etzim, then it says Lo Yiten. We don't leave food, even if it's partially cooked, on this fire, which is called a Kira, that's being fueled by Gefes V'Etzim, because then we have a serious, thank you so much, Ron, a serious chashash that maybe it'll come to be Mechate B'Gecholim, to poke the coals. However, the Mishnah does have one possibility of allowing food on a Kira, even though the Kira is being fueled by Gefes V'Etzim. And that's Ad SheYigrof or Ad SheYitein Es HaEfer. Let's try to understand what this means. See, again, this is the kind of Mishnah that I would really need a whiteboard, because, you know, there are certain terms that you have to, you know, there's a question about writing on Chol HaMoed. In this case, you can rely on me. I'll take the Averi. You're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed for this. Anyway, you should write down the word Garuf, because Yigrof is the action, Ligrof, and the description of the Kira, of this little stove, after you do the act of Yigrof, is called a Garuf. Gimel, Resh, Vav, Peh. A Garuf. What's a Garuf? A Garuf means that inside the oven, on the bottom, that's where you have the coals, he begins to push the coals over to the side. Perhaps he takes them towards the, right, so you have this little compartment in this triangular, on the bottom of this triangular stove, and he begins to take the coals and move them away from the center of the Kira, so that they're no longer really giving heat, and they're very quickly dying down. And even if he were to poke these coals, chances are it's not going to help him very much. And therefore, we reduce the chashash that we spoke about, that maybe he'll start poking the coals, because he's already shoveled out the coals. What he does is he takes ashes, and he sprinkles them on top of the coals. And in these two cases, one or the other, he has two options, he permits himself to leave food that's not completely cooked, it's partially cooked, on the stove going into Shabbos. So that, for example, if you were the balabayas and you were instructing the members of your household what to do with food that's being cooked, you would tell them, in the case of Akira, Sheyigrof or Sheyiktob. You have two choices. You want to leave the food on the Kira so that the process of Bishul continues. We'll give you two alternatives. Number one, you can shovel the coals out of the main part of the Kira, or alternatively, you can sprinkle ashes on top of the coals. Now,
presumably this is before Shabbos.
Right, that's what I meant to say. I'm sorry, I meant to say that. So again, if you were the head of the household, and the members of your household are cooking food for Shabbos, and the food is partially cooked but not totally cooked, and they're asking you, basically, Balabayas, what can I do? Can I keep the food on this oven so that the process of cooking continues? And this is right before Shabbos. So what you tell them is that you have these two alternatives. To make it into a Garuf, or a katum. Katum. And those are words that are used to describe the Kira after you do the action of either Ad Sheyigrof or Ad Sheyiktom. Now, in the case of a Garuf, as we said before, once he shovels the coals aside, the coals start dying down. They're no longer actively giving heat. Again, there's still heat in the oven. Don't misunderstand me. Obviously, otherwise the cooking process would not continue. But that direct relationship between the coals and the fire that's shooting up to heat the pot that's on top of the kira, that's no longer an active relationship. So that the chashash of chitui, of possibly poking the flames, has been severely reduced. And keep in mind, the food is partially cooked. Now, in the case of a khatum, it's a little bit more complicated. Because a khatum, although you sprinkled the ashes on top of the coals, but nevertheless the coals are still the main force over here, and they're still very active. This is more what I call, again, if you pardon the lumdish jargon, a maisa gavra. What do I mean by a maisa gavra? The person did an action to indicate that keilu, he doesn't want to tamper with the coals anymore. And that action is enough of a memory device so that it'll inhibit his chitui hagachol. He won't stir the coal. So what I'm not willing to accept, although there is such an opinion, that when you sprinkle the ashes over the coals automatically die down and they're no longer an active element. Now, I'm not willing to go that far. We're going to have long sugyas later on about a katum shechazra vehivhava, that even after he put the ashes on, the flames shoot up. And the Gemara is going to say, well, what's the story in that case? But the main point of katum is that he has achieved an action. He's made a demonstration that he is pushing these coals, so to speak, mentally out of his mindset. In such a case, we're going to allow him to keep the food on the kira and allow the cooking process to continue because there's plenty of heat inside the kira. Now, the next part of the Mishnah deals with the following issue. We have solid foods and we have liquid foods. And the difference is that in the case of liquid foods, which is called chamin, and again, you have to memorize that term, otherwise we're in deep trouble throughout this parak. Chamin. Chamin means water that was boiled. It reached the boiling point. Once it reaches the boiling point, it's called yad so lettuce bo, again, we're going to get to that later on, not today, then it's already cooked. And once you enter into Shabbos and the water, the liquid is in that state, we're not afraid that he might come to poke the coal. So again, not everybody agrees with that, but in our Mishnah, everybody agrees with that, even Beit Shammai. But Beit Shammai say, although chamin, I'm going to be more flexible in the case of hot water, liquids, I'm a low tavshil. Beit Shammai is saying that in the case of a cooked food, of solid food, on a kira, we have to be worried in all circumstances that he might come to be mechata b'gecholi. And we're not going to make exceptions with a garuf and a katum, leave that all out. And Beis Hillel say, ha chamin v'tavshil, that this heter, this leniency that we have in the case of a garuf and katum, can apply even in a case of a tavshil, even in a case of cooked food. Although again, in cooked food, there's a much more serious suspicion that he might come to poke the flame. But nevertheless, Beis Hillel says he's already done what he has to do. He made it into a garuf or a katum, and that's enough. Now we get to the third part of the Mishnah. Until now, we've been discussing leaving food on a flame, on a stove, going into Shabbos. Fine. So let's say he fulfilled all the conditions necessary. We'll go now with Beis Hillel Shita. He made it into a gara for Katum. He's got cholent that's cooking on this kira. And there's intense heat that's coming up from the bottom because of the heat that's been trapped inside this kira. What happens on Shabbos if he A, takes the cholent off the stove, and B, he wants to put the cholent back on the stove? Here the halacha becomes a lot more strict. Why? Because in the case of Erev Shabbos, leaving something on a kira, not to belittle it, but the chashash is that he may do something active during Shabbos if he sees that it's not going well, you know, and his food is not cooking at the rate, at the speed that he was hoping. But in the case of Lahachzir, Rashi points out that there's a much more serious suspicion. And that is that the onlooker doesn't realize that he just took this pot off the Kira. He's taken out whatever amount of food he needs. Imagine he wants to have a little cholent on Friday night, but he wants the balance of the cholent for his Shabbos meal. But the onlooker doesn't realize that. He sees something that really looks like bishul. He's taking food in a pot on Shabbos, putting it on an oven, or inside an oven, whatever it is. We'll go again, there'll be many, many details about this. So Beit Shammai say, notlim, we're going to allow you, under those circumstances, to take your kettle, let's say he has got a kettle of hot water, and it's on top of a stove, we're going to allow you to take it off, that's called notlim, avalomach zirin. You have to realize that once you take it off, finito. You're not allowed to put it back on. So don't eat your cholent on Friday night and expect to eat it on Shabbos. You got a choice. Either you eat it Friday night or you eat it on Shabbos. So Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin. Beis Hillel say that any of these leniencies, if the conditions have been fulfilled, they apply not only on Erev Shabbos to allow you to keep the food on the stove, but moreover, we extend it one step further, one major step further, we're allowing you, machzirin, to put it back on. And Rabosa, again, I'm just giving you previews of coming attractions, not for today, but down the line. We're going to see that even Beis Hillel is going to add many, many conditions to this halach of chazorah. He's going to say that you're still holding the pot, you haven't put it down, and not only that, you had in mind that when you took it off the fire, you're going to put it back on the fire. Because the whole purpose of Chazorah is to, so to speak, recreate the original Shehiyah. And again, we need a whiteboard for this. The word Shehiyah is going to come up a million and one times in this perek. Shin, He, Yud, Yud, He. Shehiyah means to leave it on the pot going into Shabbos. So in a funny sort of sense, and this is the way the mechanism of Halacha works, Chazorah is just getting us back to the original Shehiyah. Even though, let's not lie about it, let's be honest about it, he did take it off the fire. No, he didn't take it off the fire. He was basically leaving it in the state that you allowed him to leave it in going into Shabbos. Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos. So Chazorah reinstates the original Shehiyah. And there are going to be many conditions. Now, I'm sure all of you are thinking, this is the black that we have. We don't have a garuf and a katum. You know, we don't have coals that we move to the side. We don't have ashes that we pour onto the coals. We don't have any of that. But what we do have is a garuf and katum. How? Through a blech. And again, without getting into too many details, but the basic principle of a blech is that when you cover the fire, and again, I would go a step further, you have to cover the knobs also, right? So you have a blech that looks like a little bit of an L-shaped thing that covers the knobs. Or you can remove the knobs, or whatever you do with the knobs to make it into a garuf hakatum, you end up with a garuf hakatum. Because the opposite of a garuf hakatum is an open flame. Open flame means that you actually see the fire. That's an eino garuf v'eino katum. And if there's going to be any leniency with regard to an eino garuf and eino katum, that's only with regard to what's called a kash ugvava. And we don't have a kash ugvava in our contemporary life. I think the whole entity of kash ugvava is just history for us. Because kash ugvava is something where there's not a constant flame, and basically the fire is going to go out unless you actually put more kash inside the oven. Okay. Now, what we're about to embark upon is a major machlokes between, let's just get the names, Chananya and Chachamim. The Tanoim, Chananya and Chachamim. Chananya is of the opinion that there's a fundamental difference between Shehiyah and Chazara. Again, Shehiyah, as we said, was leaving a pot on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, as opposed to Chazara, which means putting it back on the oven, on top of the oven, inside the oven. Again, we're going to have many different variations on Shabbos itself. Hananya holds that if you can achieve Garuf V'Katum, when I say V'Katum, I mean O'Katum, on Erev Shabbos, then you're allowed Chazara on Shabbos. If you cannot achieve Garuf V'Katum, for whatever reason, you don't have time, whatever it worked out, then we're going to allow Shehiyah on an open flame, if the food is partially cooked, on Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos. Which is an amazing chiddush, that Hananya is concerned more about putting something on a stove on Shabbos, even if it was there on Erev Shabbos, but taking it off and putting it back on, that's called Chazara, than he is about Shehiyah. He's going to allow Shehiyah on an open flame, and the whole enterprise of Garuf V'Katum is only to allow Chazara. The Chachamim reject this, and the Chachamim say that just like Chazara could only be a thought through our mind to permit it if it's a Garuf V'Katum, so too Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos is only possible and only permissible if it's a Garuf or a Katum. So that you must do Garuf V'Katum on Erev Shabbos according to the Chachamim in order to allow Shehiyah. However, here we have to differentiate between Kash Ugvav on the one hand, and Eitzim on the other hand. If it's Kash, then we could be lenient, even according to the Chachamim, even on an open fire. Again, I have to reiterate for the 15th time, only on condition that the food is partially cooked. Partially cooked means Kimaichel ben Josoi, and that's halachically considered cooking. In the case of Eitzim V'Gefes, then these are substantial coals, and the Chachamim against Hananya will not allow Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos unless you make it into a Garuf V'Katum. And now the Gemara is going to embark upon an analysis of our Mishnah, really taking apart the text of our Mishnah, word for word, so to speak, in order to figure out whether our Mishnah reflects the sheet of Hananya or the sheet of Chachamim. So again, all this is, I'm hitting you with a world of information here, but these are the basics of Perikira. Ibayalahu. The Gemara asks the following suffix. Hai lo yitain. Right, the Mishnah opens up with the words lo yitain, and then it says lo yachzir. Or yachzir. What does it mean? Lo yachzir hu? When the Mishnah says lo yitain, that you shouldn't put this food on an open fire, what are we talking about? Oh, we talk about on Shabbos, and the word yite means yachzir. Or, are we talking on Erev Shabbos, and the word yite means lo yishe. Lo yitain. How do we touch the word yitain? Does yitain mean yachzir, or does it mean yishe? Are we talking about Shabbos or Erev Shabbos? Let's go through the two possibilities. Hai lo yitain. Possibility number one, lo yachzir hu. It means you're not allowed to put it back onto the kira. Avolishos. But if you want to leave it on the fire on Erev Shabbos, mashim, you're allowed to do so. On Erev Shabbos, afal pi, she'eno garuf, v'eno kot. Umani, and who's the author of that Mishnah? Chananyahu. This would be a tremendous kula, because if Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when he authored the Mishnah, he reflects a stam Mishnah that reflects the sheet of Chananya, then we might be inclined to paskin like Hananya, which, as I said before, in the context of our Mishnah, very radical kula, of a big leniency. And now, in order to appreciate who Hananya is, and what his opinion is, this Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Hananya Omer, Kol shu kemaychel ben josai, if the food has been heated erev Shabbos to the point to which it's already halachically cooked, which is machlokas rishonim whether it's 1/3 or 1/2 of its cooking, mutal lishosal gabe kira, you're allowed to leave it on a fire going into Shabbos. Afal pishenu garef enu kot. That's Chananya. Chananya says that garef akotum is only a requirement for chazara, to permit chazara. Oh, Dilma. Now the Gemara goes back to the drawing board. And what does it mean, lo yiten? Dilma, lishos tanan. What the Mishnah is telling us is, lo yiten means lo yisha. You're not allowed to leave food on a stove on Erev Shabbos unless it's a garef akotum. The e garef akotum in, then you're allowed. The lo lo, if it's not a garef akotum, it's just a kira with coals that are heating up the stove, that's prohibited on Erev Shabbos. For kolshken, it goes without saying, lahachzir, that on Shabbos itself, you would not be allowed to return food onto a kira if it's an eno garf eno katum. And that's upgrade. That, I don't even have to bother telling you that. Because I'm telling you that even on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to leave it on this flame. How much more so for chazara on Shabbos itself, which is so much more chomer. And here I would add a few words to the Gemara. I'm using my literary license here, my poetic license. And I would say, v'chachomim hi. And now the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Chachomim against Chananya. And the Chachomim say that you must have a Garef HaKotum even to allow Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos. So, just to summarize, in two sentences, the Machlokes, Chananya, and Chachomim revolves around the issue of Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos of a food that reached Kemaychel ben Josoi without making that kira into a garef akotum. It's an open fire, so to speak. And Chananya permits it, Chachomim prohibit it. Everybody agrees that chazara requires a garef akotum. So when the Mishnah says you need ad sheyigrof ad sheyiktov, is the Mishnah referring to Erev Shabbos Shehiyah? That would reflect the shita of the Chachomim. Or is that stipulation referring to chazara? And then the Mishnah would reflect the shita of Chananya. Toshma, mida katani trei bavi b'masnisin. If we go through the Mishnah and we take it apart piece by piece, we're going to be able to clarify what the Mishnah had in mind in the ratio when it says lo yite. Trei bavi b'masnisin. There are two paragraphs in the Mishnah. It says the following. Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Avalot Tavshil. Beit Shammai only allow this leniency for liquids and not for solids. Beit Sil Omrim Chamin V'Tavshil, even for solids. And then it says, Beit Shammai Omrim Notlin Avalot Machzirit. Who Beit Sil Omrim Af Machzirit. So, obviously, the Mishnah, in the latter part, is addressing the issue of Chazara. Are we allowed to put it back on Shabbos? Are we not? Beis Shammai don't allow you to put it back on Shabbos. Beis Hillel are more liberal. They allow you to put it back on Shabbos. Then the Reisha must be talking about Lishos. E Amrit Bishlema, I'll grant you that I can understand Lishos Tnan, that part of that suffix, that Lishos Tnan. And when the Mishnah says Lo Yitain, it means Lo Yisheh, is Hachi Ketani. Now the Mishnah flows. There's a Reisha and there's a Sefer, Hachi Ketani. Kira shisikua v'kashu guvava mashin olea tavshil. In other words, you're allowed to leave food, cooked food on the open fire if the fuel is straw, and we're not worried about requiring garef akotum. But begefes uvi eitz, if you heated up the kira with, we'll call them coals for our purpose, lo yisha. We're not going to allow you to leave it Erev Shabbos without getting rid of the coals or doing some symbolic act that you're not interested in the coals. Ad sheyigrov o ad sheyitein es ha'efer. You have to make it a garef akotum. So the subject of that Mishnah is Erev Shabbos in the Reisha. Umayin mashim, And once you make it into a garuf for katum, what are you allowed to leave on your fire, on this fire? So Beit Shammai says chamin al tavshil, Beis Elomim chamin v'l tavshil. Now we have machlokas Beis Elomim Beit Shammai about shehi on erev Shabbos and a garuf for katum with regard to tavshil, solid food. V'chi hechi de pligi belishos. The Mishnah now goes into the question of returning something onto the fire, onto the stove on Shabbos, and the same machlokas that applies on erev Shabbos, pligi dami bilahachzer. They disagree with they have a, I wouldn't say it's the exact same din, but the structure and the sides on the two teams are the same. Beis Hillel are going to be more mekil, Beit Shammai be more machmir. And now we're up to pligi nami b'chazara b'lahachzir. Beit Shammai omrim notulin avalom achzirin. Whatever kula we have with regard to liquids, that you leave it on the stove on erev Shabbos, if it was a gara for katum, Beit Shammai says that's fine. You can leave it on the stove, but you can't put it back on once you take it off. Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin, that the laws of shehiya are reflected in a perfect mirror image with regard to Chazar and Shabbos. Whatever leniencies you allowed for Shehiya, you can allow for Chazar. Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin. Beis Hillel allow you on this Gara for Katum to be machzir again, only on the condition that it was cooked on Erev Shabbos. So everything fits in beautifully in terms of the Mishnah. It really flows if we hold that Lo Yite means Lo Yishe. And then we divide up the Mishnah into really two fundamental parts. Again, there are more than two parts, but two fundamental parts. And that is, what's the law of Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos? That's the Reish of the Mishnah. And the Seif of the Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah, is going to get into Chazara on Shabbos. Avol, but if you're going to tell me. Avol, I'm sorry, just one second. Ella I Amrit. Lahachzir Tanan, if you're going to tell me that already in the Reish of the Mishnah, the word Lo Yitein means Lo Yachzir, and the whole Mishnah is addressing what to do on Shabbos, what are you permitted to do on Shabbos, what are you not, is Hachik Tani, then we have to read the Reish in the following way, Kira She Sikua V'Kashu B'Gvava, Machzir Nolela Tavshil. So in the case where it was heated up by Kashu B'Gvava, we're allowing you to put it back on Shabbos. B'Gefes B'Eitzim, however, if it was heated with coals, with as we called it, Lo Yachzir, you're not allowed to put it back on the fire Ad She'Igrov or Ad She'Itein Efer until you do a Gara for Katum. U'Mayin Machzirin. And now we have the Machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. What are you allowed to put back on the fire? Is Beit Shammai omrim chamin avalo tavshil? Beis Hillel omrim chamin v'tavshil. Then how are we going to read the next part of the Mishnah? The last part of the Mishnah, quote, Beis Shammai omrim notlin avalo machzirin, Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin, hasu lamali. Why do I need that last piece in the Mishnah? Right, we've just finished saying that the only way we could permit chazara is with Gara for Katum. I'm talking about in the case of Eitzim, of Gefes V'Eitzim, right? So you use real fuel, real coals. We're only going to allow Chazara if the conditions are met, and that is that it's a Gara for Katum. And even if so, is Beis Hillel, Beit Shammai, you're only going to limit it to Chamin, and Beis Hillel will expand it even to Tavshil. And now the Mishnah goes ahead and says, Beit Shammai Omrim Notlin Avalomach Zirin, and Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin. The whole discussion of the Mishnah was about Chazara. There's no way you can justify our Mishnah unless you assume that the first part of the Mishnah is discussing Shehiya, and the last part of the Mishnah is going on to the next stage and addressing Chazara. And now we're up to Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Li'olam eim l'chol l'hachzir t'nan. Now the Mishnah tries to defend the possibility that the subject of our Mishnah is what you're allowed to do on Shabbos. However, Chisurei Mechzurei V'Hachi Ketani, we're going to have to add a few words into the Mishnah. Kira She'isikua B'Kash U'B'Gavava Machzirin Olea Tavshil. So again, what we're talking about now is Chazara on Shabbos itself. Begefes uvi'etzim. If you have an open fire with coals in it, lo yachzi, you're not allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Ad she'igrof, o ad she'yitein es ha'efer. Which means, unless on Erev Shabbos, you had made it into a garif akot. Avol lishos. But if you're asking me, not about chazora, but about putting it on the fire on Shabbos, is mashim afal pi she'eno garif eino kot. We don't have that in our Mishnah. But this is Chisurei Mechzera. He's adding a whole other piece to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is saying that if you're talking about Chazorah, then you cannot permit Chazorah unless it's a Garif HaKata. But if you ask me, what about Shehiyah? On Erev Shabbos, if I want to leave my cooked, partially cooked food on an open fire, Mashin, I'm allowed to do so. Afal pi she'eino Garif, v'eino Kata, which reflects the sheet of Chananya. That Chananya allows Shehiyah, even if it's an Eino Garif, Eino Kata. Umayin Mashim, how far are we going to go with this permissibility of Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos? Beit Shammai, Omrim Chamin, Avalo Tavshil, Beit Hillel, Omrim Chamin, V'Tavshil. Beit Hillel is willing to take it all the way and allow you Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos with food that's partially cooked, even on an open flame, which is an Eino Garif, Eino Kata. Now we go back to the original issue of Chazora on Shabbos. That's the last part of the Mishnah. And the last part of the Mishnah is going to tell you that although we said that Chazora is permissible in a case of Gefes V'Eitzim, if you made it into a Garif HaKatu, that's only according to Beis Hillel. Ela machlokas Beit Shammai Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai Omrim Notlin Avalo Machzirin. Okay, now here you can ask a question. What is the chiddush of Beit Shammai that you're allowed to take it off the stove? That's going to be another sugya. But in any event, once you take it off the stove, don't even dream of putting it back on. There's no such thing as chazor. No heter chazor, according to Beit Shammai, even on a garif akata. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. And Beis Hillel is going to say, once you made it into a Garif HaKotim, you're allowed to put it back on. But if that's only on Shabbos. But if you're talking not about Chazor on Shabbos, but about Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, that's already a different story. And Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos is Mutter if it's a Garif HaKotim, which means that our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Chananya. So Rabosai, at the end of the day, the Gemara comes to absolutely no definite conclusion. We don't know if our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Chananya or the Shita of the Chachamim. Again, if our Mishnah reflects the Sheet of Chananya, allowing Shehiyah on an open fire, if it's partially cooked, then we have to push into the Mishnah what we call Chisurei Mechzera, a little piece in which the Mishnah makes this transition from the Reisha, which is Lo Yitein, which means not putting it on Shabbos, and then add another piece, Bamed Dvar Amurim. That's as far as Lo Yitein. But as far as Shehiyah is concerned, Mashim, Afal Pisha Eino Garif Eino Katum, and then we have Chananya. Toshma, the Gemara now quotes usually Toshma is from a Braisa, here it's from Amoroim. In any event, we have the following statement. The Omer Rabbi Chelbo Amarav Chama Ben Bar Gurya Amarav Lo Shanu Ela Al Gaba Aval Litocha Asur. Now, we said that the kira, if you remember, has a compartment, and that's where the coals are. And then you have this teepee-shaped stove, and then you put the pot on top of the stove. So this statement of Rabbi Chelba says that our discussion here is only with regard to putting it on top of the stove. The whole enterprise that we've been discussing. But to put it inside the oven, which would mean that compartment is, the door to that compartment is open, is tall enough, so that I can actually put my food inside the oven, which means that it's really hot and it's sitting on the kira, on the gecholim, that we don't allow. So the Gemara says the following. If we're going to assume that lo yitein means lo yachzir, and we're talking about We're talking about the fact that, what? That, just 1 second, let's go through the calculation. Lo yachzir tanan. Oh, if lo yite means lo yachzir tanan, which means that as far as Shehiyah is concerned, we're going to allow Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, even without a Gara for Kotum, is Hainu Deshoni Bein Tocha Lal Gaba. Now we can say the following, that we understand and justify Rabbi Chelbo's distinction between putting it on top of the Kira as opposed to putting it inside the Kira. And why? Because what we're talking about is an open fire. An open fire. If it's an open fire, then we're very nervous, says Rabbi Chelbo, about allowing you to put the food inside the Kira, in this inner compartment, because now it's sitting on the Gecholin. That far we can't go. Ela ima amrit lishos tnan. But if what the Mishnah is telling us is that you're not allowed to leave a pot on an open fire unless you make it into a garuf v'katum. So the Gemara thinks now, mali tocha, mali al gaba. If you've already made the kira into a garuf, let's leave out katum. Katum is a little more complicated, but garuf means you've already cleared out the coals. Once you've cleared out the coals, why should there be any difference between putting it on top of the kira, on the grates, as opposed to putting it inside the kira, on the coals, but there are no coals. He's already made it into a garuf. Or let's say Afer, in the case of Khatum, really somehow neutralizes the power of the Gecholin. Even though, as I said before, the Gemara is going to talk about a case where the fire does go up through the Afer. But generally speaking, the Afer quiets down the coals. So why not allow you to put the Tavshil inside the Kira? The Gemara rejects it. Mi savas Rabbi Chelbo Reisha Koi Asefa Koi. Rabbi Chelbo is addressing Shabbos itself. And as we said over and over again, on Shabbos we're much more machmir. Because it looks like he's doing an act of Bishul when he puts something onto the Kira. And here, Beis Hillel Omer Af Machzir Beis Hillel are willing to be matir to allow Chazara. Omer Rabbi Chelbo, Omer Rabbi Chelbo, that's only lo shanu el al gaba vol betocha os. You know, to allow you to put food inside the oven, which is clearly where the main thrust and concentration of the heat is, to allow you to do that on Shabbos, that we can't do. That's called mechzik mevashel. That already looks like bishul. So the entire discussion of Rabbi Chelbo is addressing Chazor and Shabbos. As far as Shehiyah is concerned, Enochinami could be that this Mishnah, even according to Rabbi Chelbo, reflects the Shita of the Chachamim. We're not going to allow Shehiyah unless it's a Garuf for Katum. And once it's a Garuf for Katum, and it's Erev Shabbos, who cares whether he leaves his pot on top of the Kira or inside the Kira? It's already a Garuf for Katum. Once a Garuf for Katum, we're not afraid of Chitui B'Gecholim. Toshma. Now we have another Braisa. And hopefully from this Braisa, we're going to figure out whether or not we accept Chananya. And we allow Shehi on an Eino Garf Eino Katu. Even in the case of Gefes V'Yetzu. Now it's interesting. Because before we wanted to figure out how Rabbi Chelbo interpreted that Mishnah. Now we're talking about a Braisa, you know, there's no absolute proof that even if we come to a conclusion, whatever it is about the Braisa, that proves or sheds a light on the Mishnah. But the Gemara thinks that there is a relationship between the Braisa and the Mishnah, and let's see what we can do with this Braisa. Shtei Kiros Hamat Imos. So what he has now is a twin Kira, which means he takes two kiros and he manufactures them as one. There's a partnership in the wall right down the middle so that he's got a kira and another kira that share one wall. is achas grufa uktuma viachas sheina grufa ktuma. He had a chance to remove the coals from one kira, but not from the other kira. Mashin al gabi grufa ktuma, v'ein mashin al gabi al sheina grufa v'ena ktuma. We're allowing you to do shehiya. Again, we're talking about Erev Shabbos, so clearly we're going like the Chachamim of Chananya, and we're not going to allow you to do shehiya on the other kira. You might think that somehow, once you made it into a garfa kotev on one kira, and they share the other kira also shares the same wall, we can extend that head to no. The other kira has an open flame. You didn't do garf, you didn't do kotev. We're not going to allow. My mashim, and what are you allowed to leave on that one kira that is a garfa kotev? Mechamay omrim v'lo klum. He's not going to allow shehi at all. And beisil omrim chamin avolo tavshil. And perhaps what the Gemara is telling us here, this Brisa, is that since the Kira that's Eno Garf, Eno Kotum, has active coals, and the other Kira, although you've taken out the coals, but it shares the same wall, that wall is going to project the heat, and therefore we have to be more careful. And that is Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the Shita of Divrei Meir. And Okar Divrei HaKol Lo Yachzor. If he took it off, then he's not allowed to put it back on. Everybody agrees, even Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beit Shammai Omer, Chamin Avolo Tavshil, U Beis Hillel Omer, Chamin V'Tavshil. So Rabbi Yehuda's a record of this transmission of this machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai is with regard to that part of the Kira, that half of the Kira that's Gorah Fekotum, and Beis Hillel is going to allow you to leave the food on Erev Shabbos on a Garfa Kotum, that half of the Kira that's Garfa Kotum, even with regard to solid food. And Beis Shammai Omer Notlin Avalo Machzir, Beis Hillel Omer Af Machzir. And on that side, which is a Garfa Kotum, Beis Hillel is going to allow you even Chazor on Shabbos. E Amrit Bishleimo Lishos Tnan. If the Mishnah is telling us, like Chachomim of Chananya, that you're not allowed to do Shehi unless you make it into a Garfa Kotum, is Masnisen Mani Rabbi Yehuda, that our Mishnah can reflect the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, as we saw it here in this Brisa, that allows you on that half of the Kira that's a Garfa Kotum to leave your pot. Aval But if our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Chananya, which means that Shehiya is Mutter on an Eno Garf Eno Kotum, is Masnisen Mani. Our Mishnah doesn't reflect any transmission of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, Lo Rabbi Yehuda V'Lo Rabbi Meir. E Rabbi Meir, Kasha LeBeit Shammai Bechada Ulebeisil Betarte, and E Rabbi Yehuda Kasha Gufa Ktuma. In other words, if you take Rabbi Meir's version of the Machlokas Beisil Beit Shammai, then we don't understand, because Rabbi Meir is against our Mishnah on two counts, because Rabbi Meir prohibits an Eino Garfa Eino Kotum, and he even prohibits a Garfa Kotum, except for certain conditions, right? Beis Hillel would allow Chamin. So the transmission of Rabbi Meir completely undermines our Mishnah. And even if you take the transmission of Rabbi Yehuda, but what about a Garfa Kotum? Rabbi Yehuda says that you must have a Garfa Kotum in order to allow Shehiya. And that's against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah reflects the Shita of the Chachamim. My mistake. Our Shita reflects the Shita of Chananya. Li'olam emelecha lahachzir tonight. The Gemara wants to now go back to Chananya, that the Mishnah is prohibiting Chazara on Shabbos unless it's a Garfa Kotum. On Erev Shabbos, Shehiya is Mutter on an Eino Garfa Eino Kotum. V'tana didan, sovrlo k'Rabbi Yehuda b'chado, u'pol g'lei b'chado. Our Tana and our Mishnah accepts the version of Rabbi Yehuda in one halacha, but not in another halacha. Savar laka Rabbi Yehuda v'chada. It accepts the shita of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to chamin v'tavshil, v'notlin u'machzirin, u'polgalei b'chada, de'ilu tana didan savar lishos, afal pishe eno garf eno katum, Rabbi Yehuda savar lishos, nami garf katum in ilolo. So our Mishnah accepts Rabbi Yehuda as far as Chazara is concerned, which means that if you want to put something onto the fire on Shabbos, then we require a Garf HaKatum, and even if it's a Garf HaKatum, Beit Shammai is going to say only Chamin and not Tavshil. But our Mishnah rejects Rabbi Yehuda's version in this Machlokas with regard to Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos. Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, our Mishnah accepts the sheet of Hananya, and you don't require a Garif HaKatum in order to permit Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos. Okay, I'm looking at the clock. Let's see if we can push it just a few more lines in the Gemara. Ibailahu Mao Lismoch Ba. This is the sugya called Smicha. Has nothing to do with rabbinic ordination. Smicha means, are you allowed to take a pot and instead of placing it inside the kira or on top of the kira, you smack it up against the outside wall of the kira. The outside wall of the kira is producing heat. The heat is coming from inside. And this will continue the process of cooking for your tavshil. Again, how you engineer this, you're going to have to find some sort of way of lifting up your pot. Or perhaps the pot is sitting on the ground. But the pot itself is smack up against the outside wall of the kira. Here, obviously, we have much less of a suspicion, of a fear, that he might be mechata b'gecholim. Because there's no direct relationship between the coals and the pot that is smacked up against the outside. Maot iboilu, Gemara asks the suffix. Maot lismoch ba. Are we allowed to place the pot on the outside? Tocha v'gaba asur. To place a pot inside the kira or on top of the kira, that's forbidden, unless you fulfill all the conditions that are necessary. Avo lismoch ba shapir dami. If it's an open fire, that we should certainly be allowed to... Even though it's an open fire, we should be allowed to do smicha because the pot is not located inside the kira. Odilma lo shna, or should we say no? That if he sees that his pot is not cooking at the rate that he wants it to cook, he might forget himself and he might do chitui inside the kira in order to heat up the wall of the kira so that the pot that is samuch and is attached to the outside wall of the kira, that too is a chashash, is a serious fear that he might actually poke the flames. So the Gemara now is going to answer with a toshma, but we're gonna stop here. And B'li Neder, we'll get together on Yom Rishon, which will be the third day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. And we'll try to see how we can make sure that on Yom Rishon we're back on the track, because again, I think if I'm not mistaken, we're one day ahead of the Daf Yomi, so that'll allow us to fill in on Yom Rishon with this sugya that we're doing now.